Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
His name is Wrestle-Me Mark.
Wrestle-Me Peter.
Yay, we're back and we're going to get to the first match on WrestleMania 19.
I thought this was part two of Shut your fat mouth. We got...
You random listener.
There's been a wrestler who is just permanently surly. Where they just go, you know, and I'm going to take you to the top of the mountain, I'm going to slam down the big arm on you and this, that, and the other.
Fuck off.
Shut up. Fucking hell.
Oh, so we're back with WrestleMania at 19. As I said
before,
X1X. Yeah, you see it in different ways, just not having it. But it's the first WWE show, obviously, as we spoke about before.
Yes, due to long running and difficult legal actions with an animal charity.
Animal charities would be a great collective, wouldn't it? Animal charity. All of a load of wrestlers that have been rebranded as animals.
More and more, when I look at things, if you see really normal sounding things, those are great names for tag teams. You don't want anything that sort of says the spectacular aerialists, the bin men.
No, you want Gorilla Glue. Butcher's Grass. It could be like an East London kind of I got some information for you.
It would be
Butcher's Grass.
The Grass is also a good wrestler. Really weaselly man.
He was saying that your urn, he'd done a piss in your urn, Undertaker.
Well, Bernie tells me.
Where's our developmental contract? Oh, so the first match, the Cruiserweight Champion, Matt Hardy versus Rey Mysterio. Mystery King.
Is this the first WrestleManiac I've met in the flesh, Mark, that we've seen in WrestleMania? I think this is the first time, because we both met him at the same time, didn't we?
Well, we have also met Stone Cold Steve Austin, which you forget about.
Oh, fuck, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, I've got a photo of the two of you. It's on my computer. And you are standing in front of him. And for some reason, he isn't pulling an Austin face. He's really proud of you.
Aww.
And he's got his hand on your shoulder. And you look like you're his son. And he is just beaming.
Proud, tiny, wasted son. You will have to send me that, because I've not got a copy. That's wonderful.
I will dig that out. Yeah,
I've got a picture of... me and Rey Mysterio, and you and Rey Mysterio, which is very enjoyable. He's a nice chap. I liked him.
He was lovely. You had an unusual thing, which was you saw a Rey Mysterio. I say unusual. It's not that unusual to see him unmasked. He spent 2 years in WCW without it on. and when he goes home and he's not on the television, he probably doesn't wear it.
No.
He probably doesn't wear it on planes.
And you probably don't know what he looks like without his eyes in.
No. But you got to see him in the lift.
I got to see
him
in the lift, and his head looked smelt of sweaty.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's just wearing a Lucha Libre mask, and it's just
we should say this, we haven't really set this up at all. Rey Mysterio, there was a weird thing. Pete and I were working as escorts, and he made a mistake. There was something to do with the currency, but we were working on XFM, the long lost lamented indie station.
Not that much lamented or lost, not by the end.
we had Rey Mysterio came in.
We had three or four wrestlers in a row, didn't we? I forgot about Stone Cold Steve Austin. I forgot he'd
We had
come
in Ray Austin and Randy Orton.
Yes.
I missed Randy Orton because I was ill, and you made up for it by really angering him, didn't
you? Upsetting him.
You did. Yeah. When Ray came in, they must have been building up to either a pay-per-view or a British tour, and he was really super nice. He was really lovely. The thing that none of us had really realised, this must have been about 2005, six, so a couple of years after this. This is his first WrestleMania. In this one, he's small. Mm. He's a proper cruiserweight. And I think he'd even put on quite a bit of weight by coming to the WWE. But
yeah.
He was still a very lithe man. By the time we met him, he was like a big tin of Spam.
Super Meat Boy.
He was just square. And you've never seen... He isn't the tallest guy. I think he's about 5'6". Mm. But when you stood next to him, you were like, he is four times the size of me.
He's filling the lift, wasn't he? He must have felt like the need to sort of bulk out a little bit.
Yeah. But he's also the smallest guy on the roster. Imagine what the rest of them are like,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But I do remember... I forget what it was like on air. I don't remember at all. I remember he was really nice. Mm. And I remember he was also quite surprised that we had any interest in wrestling, that it wasn't just a show where we all sat there and went, so tell us, is it fixed?
Yeah. As he throws one of us out the window.
Yeah. Did you ever live inside Big Daddy's house? I don't know why that's a question.
Who's Big Daddy? Do you know Jimmy Savile? Yes, but only because he was confused and I'm 5'6".
At this time, Savile was still a living saint, Pete. So Ray was really, really nice. And I remember in one of the ad breaks that we had on, I remember, I was just chatting to him and I said, how are you doing at the minute? Are you really banged up? And he went, yeah, I'm absolutely in constant pain. He said, I've got nothing specific wrong with me at the moment. He said, but it's just everything in me hurts all the time. He sort of said, I've got like in my wrist, he said, I can feel the outside of my wrist and the inside of the wrist. He said, like the inside in the actual arm. He said, you can't feel that. He said, but I can feel there's pain there. Oh, what? Stop doing
this. Get off AOL.com. Ray, you got RSI, clearly. Stop replying to your fans, you diligent bastard.
My now wife then was my girlfriend, and she was a teacher, and I got him to hold up a little sign that said, Miss Jones says, listen to Miss Jones or else, says Ray Mysterio. And that hung in her classrooms for the best part of 15 years. And actually, it was ruined by the fact that we got married. It's now redundant. So if Ray Mysterio is listening...
If any female teachers are listening who happen to be called Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Ray Mysterio is listening, have you got a copy of Microsoft Paint that you could send me? Because I can just knock it up. It would take minutes.
He's killed someone since then.
Involved in a death in the ring, unfortunately. Yeah. It's Ray Mysterio is a proper legend. And I don't think you can really overstate how important he is to the change that happened in wrestling, precisely because he was there at the right time. He was an unusually small wrestler, especially for the WWE.
Yeah.
At this stage, they've got him in the cruiserweights, but he just, by force of personality and the brilliance of what he does in the ring, he clears the way. He basically makes all of the big plodding fat people
look shit
because out he comes and he is so fast. He's like grease lightning in this. He's flipping out everywhere. He's jumping. He's a unique star in that he started in Mexico. I think he had two different names. They were the Green Lizard and the Hummingbird.
Right.
I can't remember what they are. Hang on, I've got them written down. Lagartixa Verde. Oh,
green.
God, that's terrible.
Got to be green, isn't it?
And Calibri, the Hummingbird.
Right, okay.
His uncle was a wrestler called Rey Mysterio. He became Rey Mysterio Jr.
Right.
Vince McMahon hates...
The
suffix junior.
Yeah.
Because he himself
was a junior.
Junior. Mm. And so when Rey Mysterio came in, the junior was dropped. There is a bit of a funny thing about how WWE doesn't really like masked wrestlers. They have a thing of going, that's part of the Mexican culture and it's not the American way.
Mm.
It sort of fails to take into account the fact that pretty much everyone who wears a mask is immediately able to sell loads of merchandise and people tend to like them.
Yeah.
But there's a long history of them with Andrade, who was formerly La Sombra and a huge star, the mask came off. Sami Zayn, who used to be a masked wrestler called El Generico, the mask came off.
El Generico?
It was a good, tongue-in-cheek
like
thing
that.
By a Canadian man. Now, there's something about it that they just didn't like anything that Rey Mysterio stood for. The mask, the junior, and also the sort of Mexican style.
Yeah, high-flying sort of stuff, I guess.
But everywhere Rey Mysterio has been, he has got over. He went to ECW, he got over in his first match. He goes to WCW, he's over in minutes.
Yeah.
He comes to WWE, he is over. And he spends the whole of his career being over. He's a remarkable performer. He's gone through different phases in his career where he's almost become a heavyweight and then he becomes sort of world champion. We get to see that in a few years' time.
Oh, cool.
But at this time, he is just immensely hot. And so the decision to put him against Matt Hardy for the cruiserweight belt and have him beaten in 6 minutes, it's mind-bogglingly stupid. Again, they could have made him on the biggest stage of them all a huge superstar. Yeah. The thing is, like Dusty Rhodes, like your John Cena's, there are certain people who it doesn't matter what you do because they are inevitably going to get over. And Rey Mysterio is one of those people.
Through just force of charisma and skills.
Completely. At one point, Taz, who's on commentary here, he's on with Jim Ross. And there's some slight flipping around. I think Michael Cole comes in as well and Jerry Lawler.
So Cole wasn't in the good graces for a while, was he?
He had some bad WrestleMania calls over the years. Mm. And they always wanted to go with Michael Cole because he was younger than JR and Lawler. But they just, every time they put him in that position, they'd end up going back to JR and Lawler because they were better. JR, at this point, his Bell's palsy has got very bad.
Right.
And he looks actually like Peter Griffin from Family Guy. He's and when you see him, you can see why Vince McMahon was going, the problem is this is television. This isn't the old days of the territories where all you hear is the voice.
Yeah.
This is television and it's a youth product and we need youthful people. Who better than Michael Cole to look like the coolest man on earth?
And Taz looks like a big moon.
Taz is really good at this WrestleMania as a commentator. He's got a real sort of... He's got a passion and a roughness that I actually think is quite good. In this one, he shouts out, wine me, dine me, 619 me, which was 619, Rey Mysterio's finishing move, which I think is the area code for the part of Los Angeles he came from.
Right, okay.
But there was something about hearing Taz sort of make a 69 joke. I was like, ugh. Taz, the human sex suplex machine.
Don't see that. Jim Ross starts the whole show, in fact, by going, this is my 10th WrestleMania. And Jerry Lawler just goes, piles in, talking about his John Wayne cufflinks, and it's like, you've derailed this already. The first thing we've said, and you're already bringing up the John Wayne, and you can tell he's going, oh, for fuck's sake, let me just get through the first sentence before you start talking about fucking cufflinks.
Jim Ross is massive on like John Wayne
stuff,
and again,
yeah,
that's a generational thing where it'd be like, sort of, we've got a hip company, it's a big entertainment thing. Really early on, why don't you mention that you've got like a massive collection of Charles Dickens memorabilia?
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck? I'm not interested in
this. Hey, kids, you into Pee Wee Herman? No, me neither. I haven't got his bike.
Remember that talking sofa? sit on this, see if it talks you. giving it a go. Matt Hardy is he's a perennial thing when I watch him and I feel a bit sad, is that Matt is great in the Hardy Boys with his brother Jeff. Of the two of them, Matt loves wrestling and Jeff is just like, it comes easy and I couldn't give a shit.
Mm.
And Matt works so hard and yet just doesn't quite get the reaction that Jeff would get if he turned up and spat on the floor. At this point, Jeff is probably spitting on the floor because he was actually released from WWE in April, just after this WrestleMania, because he was having huge problems with drugs.
Right, okay.
They had asked him to go into rehab and he refused.
Right.
So they said, well, okay, you're going to be fired. So they fired him. He immediately went to TNA. He later came back to the WWE and then again when he had drug problems, they sent him off to TNA. He ends up in TNA.
Yeah, there's a few kind of TNA kind of sub stories or backstories. Like TNA, did that kind of appear? Was that always around and it just kind of appeared?
So when WCW closed down and WWE bought their competition, TNA sprung up as a sort of, the idea was we need...
Pick up the wrestlers that, that were released by both.
Yeah, and the number two federation would undoubtedly do really well.
Yeah.
It didn't. And it is still going to this day. It struggled for a very, very long time. A lot of people paid a lot of money to keep it going.
Yeah.
But in these sort of period 2002 onwards, they were taking everyone who would leave the WWE.
Yeah.
And so after the plane ride from hell, they immediately picked up Goldust, they immediately picked up Scott Hall. It didn't do them any good. I'm not sure they had so much of a policy. It was a small startup company, so there wasn't a wellness policy in place. So they would take people who were in terrible shape and not fit to perform. The clearest example of that is in 2011, Jeff Hardy had a legendarily awful match, a pay-per-view called Victory Road with Sting, where he came out and he was in no fit state to perform.
Right.
And Sting was furious. They had to essentially roughly pin him in like 29 seconds.
Right.
And it was just, that's not TNA's fault by any means.
No.
People had problems. And unfortunately, this WrestleMania coincides with Jeff Hardy's first really serious problems.
Right, okay.
That leaves Matt Hardy on his own. He tries to reinvent himself, this Matt Hardy version 1 character.
Well, he's wearing these kind of like Chong Sam dress The sort of dress you buy in Chinatown.
Yes.
Like trousers and he's put pockets on it. It's dreadful.
If you were in charge of, and you know, WWE does have a big sort of wardrobe department, you would sort of go, are we going to buy really nice stuff or can I get this really, really cheap?
Well, I mean, Rey Mysterio, like when did he stop being a rubber fetishist? He sort of predates Halle Berry and Catwoman by a year. Yeah. So I'm thinking there might be some connections.
It's the same costume. This was a nod also to the superhero Daredevil at WrestleMania.
Yeah, the only dare is like to go in a dark room at a Berlin gay fetish night. I don't know.
With his like contact lenses in as well. Yes. You would be like, oh, you know, we went on a lad thing to Berlin and there was this fucking freak in the what, Rey Mysterio Jr.? Yep, that's the one.
He's in one of the dark rooms. I mean, you didn't know, you just see his glowing eyes, you chowed down on your wang. Berlin dark rooms there. A review.
And legendary superstar Rey Mysterio. this match has always been sort of seen as being very disappointing, but actually Rey makes it quite good. I was watching this back and I was surprised by how quick and pacey and fun.
Oh, I could
was.
Definitely watch a lot more of that. I was definitely into this match.
Yeah, but they just had a way of mishandling cruiserweights really badly. People like Ultimo Dragon, who came in a couple of years, well, about this time in fact, a huge star across the world.
Right.
Masked Japanese wrestler, knew how to wrestle in the Mexican style as well, and they just couldn't find anything to do with him. And it continues to this day. Cruiserweights, who the audience love, they just have no interest in.
Why do they sign them, though? I don't understand. Like, they just think, oh, it, but I guess it's like, this is football management, isn't it? It's like, I could probably get a tune out of this player.
Yeah.
But then they just play him out of position and their career goes downhill.
Yeah, and then they go, oh, you didn't work out. You're not good.
It's your fault, isn't it? Yeah. Is it?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There was a sign here which you were obsessed with. You sent me over WhatsApp.
I got excited and then less excited and then excited again. It was someone held up a sign saying, hi, Carissa Cavalli from Trumbull, Connecticut.
Mm.
And then so I was like, I wonder if I can find this woman. And so I found a Cavalli from basically Carmela Nappi Cavalli. Died age 100 in 2011 at the Bridgeport Hospital. And I was like, oh, I mean, there's very few Cavallis on the internet. And then, even though obviously it's a popular Italian name. But, and then I found the kind of guest book for this woman's death. And doctors Hulcher Napolitano and staff in Trumbull, Connecticut, basically wrote on the wall saying, we're going to miss you, Miss Cavalli. And I was like, it's the same family? How many Cavallis can be in fucking Trumbull, Connecticut? And so I was like, oh, we found her.
Carissa, someone's been listening to a podcast. I don't know what's happened, but there's a man who's tracking you down through your dead grandma.
And I was like, so hang on, so that could have been like, it could have been the late Salvatore. He might have already, no, no, she was born in 2010, so that was her father. And then I'm like, hang on, so she died.
Oh, you April, have the
she
nerve.
Died April.
You have the nerve to ask why the cruiserweights don't get over. You see a sign and then you track a dead
she
woman's
died
family.
April 14th, 2011, which was 5 days after, I think, the Hall of Fame, in which I think, who was inducted? It was not Junkyard Dog. Who was
like a conspiracy theory.
I was
theory
figuring out, no, it was, who's the whole man, USA?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan was, so maybe she just really hated. This is a big wrestling fan family, and she got so upset that Hacksaw was was inducted.
I mean, it's a theory.
It's a theory.
Yeah, it was actually, she was also 100. Oh, there's another sign actually that I did notice, which is, again, something that at the time was sort of well known and then just disappeared. It says Credgley.
What the hell's Credgley?
Credgley was the sort of thing that was Christian, Edge and Mick Foley, and they did some sort of backstage stuff, and they once sort of said we should call ourselves Credgley, and seeing a Credgley sign, I saw that article.
Takes you back.
I remember. What's that? What's Credgley?
Credgley.
What's Credgley? And I sort of worked out, I went, that's Edge. Christian Edge. I couldn't get the Lee.
Yeah.
But it turned out it was Mick Foley. So
it's just that Edge gets his whole name in there.
He does, yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, someone's angling for that.
For Matt coming down to the ring, they had like a really janky fake kind of internet video, kind of like as if it was on a website. I was like, oh, doesn't that feel futuristic? WWEMattitude.com.
They have a little thing where this Mattitude version one, they would give every time he came out to the ring, it would put up two trivia facts.
Right.
And he was like, I wrote all of those myself and they are all true. And if you go on IMDb, there's a trivia which they have on every actor.
Yeah.
And they include wrestlers as actors. And if you click on the Matt Hardy and click on trivia, it is five times as long as anyone else's.
Because all of those ones had different...
Because everyone's put that in. Matt has two lawnmowers, all that sort of thing. one fact I found out about this is that both Matt and Jeff Hardy, they have never left the house that they were born and grew up in.
Oh, it's a bit Pat Sharp, that, isn't it?
It is. They both built houses on the property.
Right.
It's been featured a number of times on TNA and WWE programming. Mm. They tend to sort of like to do stuff from their houses. But I did think, that's a bit lazy.
That is a bit lazy.
His unofficial foreman for the building of his house when it was built was his girlfriend Amy Dumas, a.k.a. Lita.
Ah.
Yeah. So she's a home builder and later a home wrecker.
Hey.
Smooth that, innit? Proper line. then we get a little segment from the Miller Lite Catfight Girls.
Yeah. I mean, this couldn't... If someone just walked in the room, they'd be like, what the fuck are you watching, Dave? You got your...
Worst. Everyone says this is the worst thing in any WrestleMania at any point, and they're absolutely right.
So I've did some Googling. The Miller Lite Girls were a Super Bowl, a band, I think, Super Bowl commercial.
Yes.
Where a man is recounting to his friend and their mutual partners what would make a good advert, and it's basically just two women in bras having a wrestle in mud.
They
and
get into an argument over the... One of them says... They're talking about this awful fucking beer.
Yeah.
And one of them says, I like it because it's got great taste. And the other one says, less filling. Great taste, less filling. And they have a fight.
Yeah.
And so the whole way through this, an advert which not only was it supposedly banned, but we didn't have outside America. So it meant nothing to us. And they would have this thing of going, who's responsible for making WrestleMania? Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon. Meaningless. I had a look at the YouTube comments for the advert.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's good.
Is it better or worse than I wonder if you got a sniff? Was it a good sniff?
Yes,
Stacey Keebler's arse statue?
I think these are good. It ends the advert as well, where the girlfriends of the guy who has come up with this advert basically says, I've got an idea how it should end. And then it cuts back to the Miller Lite cat fight girls saying, we should make out. And then they make out. And that's the hilarious.
Yeah.
Very much loaded 1996. YouTube comments. Only queers and Nazi feminists would hate this commercial.
Wow.
Boom, straight in there
like,
from...
That sounds like it was written this year.
It was written 6 years ago.
Oh,
so,
was it? Okay.
Yeah, Michael Lane is very much ahead of the times. Cuban Pete, 1990, said, hey, did she said let's make out? yes, Cuban Pete, 1990. That was the punchline.
I love internet comments from people where English isn't necessarily their first language, especially porno. Porno comments are magnificent.
New podcast. And someone writes, this is 2 years ago. Oh boy, how far our country has fallen. 2003, that was a year when people could discern the difference between entertainment and politics. He's gone to the Miller catfight video and gone, well, this sums up a better time, doesn't it? Look at that, yeah. And all these people getting their knickers in a twist. Taz is great and witless here. So it cuts back after the girls are there. And Taz goes, here, yeah, I hear the Miller Lite catfight girls really dig Taz. And Michael Cole says, where did you hear that? And Taz goes, I made it up.
Oh, Taz, brilliant. He admitted it as if he was going to get in trouble for it. Wait, he did not say that.
I made it up. I can't. Do you know what? I don't want to run with this riff anymore.
I've just remembered my wife's watching. And, yeah. You know.
Hey, Taz, didn't you also get done for like getting your dick out in a tanning salon? No. That was different. That's different. Same name, different guy. That's actually the official line on that. So, same name, different guy.
Okay.
Taz doesn't have a very common name, so it's unusual.
No,
right, Undertaker versus A Show and the Big Train.
Yeah, and Undertaker gets his own band.
Please welcome the WWE's favourite band in the whole world, says Howard Finkel. Limp Bizkit!
Limp Bizkit, they're here. They've been trailed so many times.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, the band members must have attended some kind of wrestling event before this, but...
Yeah.
The mix is off.
Well, they were here at WrestleMania 18 and...
Did they play?
I think 17.
Did they play?
Yeah.
I thought it was just their...
They definitely play Rolling for The Undertaker in one of those.
Oh, that rings a bell. Yeah. I know that they used Rolling and they used it was Rolling, wasn't it?
What do you want to do now? And the other one.
But this one, they had their new song that was this. I mean, like the two things. Wes Borland, the guitarist, who seems like quite a clever chap.
Mm.
His thing would you? He'd always have spooky makeup on. Could not even be asked. He's just wearing his normal. Maybe it was pre-spooky makeup, but he's just wearing his normal stuff. But something is definitely off on the mix because you can just hear these car horns that are part of the song, but they're just way too prominent. And you experience it later on when you hear the guitar. It's so fucking loud.
There's
really
a few
loud.
Bits where Fred Durst is definitely behind the beat when he's gonna do now?
Yeah, when he's out. When he goes out into the crowd, he can't hear his monitor.
Nope.
So he's going, I'm on crack. Okay, they're hawking their big new song, which is like, I'm on crack.
Is it called Crack Addict?
Yeah, I'm a crack addict.
I'm a crack addict. That's the official song, by the way, of WrestleMania 19. Is I'm a crackhead or something. Guys, I do love the fact as well that they went to Ashanti and said, you know you did this, you were absolutely no way.
Yeah.
And they go, hi, Limp Bizkit. There's a couple of, we're as proud of
course,
that as
I mean,
anything.
Because Limp Bizkit does not have a wellness policy. But at one point, I noticed that the bassist, as it starts to get darker, the bassist from Limp Bizkit has got like a 5-string bass because it was new metal.
Mm.
And he also had a light up. The fretboard was all light lit up. And I was like,
oh.
Pre-LEDs as well. He's going to go through batteries. He's going to
go through fucking batteries.
Where's the halogen? It's just run with halogen gas. It's horrible.
So, Undertaker, this is a handicap match, but it shouldn't have been.
Right.
He was supposed to be teamed up with a wrestler called Nathan Jones.
Okay.
Nathan Jones, huge Australian guy.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon had seen him, I think, wrestling for WWA, which was another one of these small organisations that set up in the wake of WCW folding. It ran in Australia. And Nathan Jones was an Australian. He was huge. He'd come through the strongman sort of side of things. He'd done World's Strongest Man and things like that. Before he was a wrestler and a weightlifter, he had been sentenced to 16 years in 1987 to the infamous Boggo Road Jail in Australia.
Ooh.
For 8 armed robberies between 85 and 87. He became one of Australia's most wanted while he was still on the run from the robberies, and he ended up serving 7 years in prison.
Right.
While he was in prison, he just began working out and he became this huge monster. The funny thing is, Vince McMahon, he loves these big guys.
Yeah.
He absolutely loves them. And there is a long history of him going, I love the size of this guy. Doesn't he look like a monster? Absolutely brilliant. Stick him in the ring, and going, shitting hell, he can't wrestle.
The Great Khali.
Exactly. You know, the spectacle nature of it. The what happens with Nathan Jones is The Undertaker and he begin working on this match they're going to have, this tag team match. And he goes to The Undertaker's house and they work together for a week.
Mm.
And at the end of it, they go, this guy cannot do it. So they have him sort of get attacked before the match, knocked out as a way of getting him out of the match.
Right,
so, yeah. I mean, he is that bad that he cannot make it onto a WrestleMania that the Miller catfight girls can, right? That's how fucking bad he must have been.
Right, okay.
He comes out just during the match and does a couple of like high sort of kicks on people, which look fucking brilliant. But he doesn't last in wrestling very much longer. He does get sort of, you know, fired, shifted on. He never quite finds his niche. And he becomes, I think, an actor.
Right.
So I think he's in Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay.
But like a lot of his wrestling career, there's something a bit lacking. So he tends to not have lines.
Well, he's the Undertaker on this one. Like, he, you know, obviously he comes out with Limp Bizkit and bobs his head a bit. He's enjoying his music. But he looks like he's been fucking working out. He looks incredible.
Yeah, he does.
Specimen, man.
He's got funny hair.
It's
like a long crew cut. Which is like he's gone, I do want, you know, like a number one. I want a number one all over, but I want it to be number nine.
Yeah, and it looks weirder because obviously black is not his natural hair, so it's kind of difficult to.
No.
But he looks absolutely gigantic.
He goes against the former Prince Albert, who is now called A-Train.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is the subway train that goes all the way across Manhattan. No idea why they went with that. No idea at all. He is looking big in this, Albert. He's looking
he looks
dense, like sort of tuna meat.
Well, he's got quite a hairy body, but he stops shaving his head around about the neckline.
Yes.
So he's got like a weird hair. He looks like a hair shirt, basically.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
They could have called, instead of A-Train, which is not what they should have called, they should have called him Hairy Big Boy.
Half Hairy Big Boy.
Double H, double B.
I'm sure The Undertaker, I think I accused him of this in the last WrestleMania, but I'm sure he shouted, come on, you motherfuckers, at one point.
Yeah.
Did sound like he shouted that.
He's definitely going through a period where he's sort of going, I'm not a wrestler anymore. I could have been in UFC. I'm an MMA fighter. And he's doing lots of sort of rabbit punches and really quick sort of knockout things. And he brings in submission moves that never get over. I think he wins one match with like a submission move that he's invented.
Do the fucking tombstone prick.
I think it's called the Gates of. It doesn't matter because
it doesn't
work.
Do the people of Carly's matches kind of like have a list of things they're going to do? Like they're going to debut. He's going to debut something. It's basically an Irish whip.
Yeah.
But I'm going to call it the Donaldson Donkey Slap.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And if you're a big enough star, they will go, that is brilliant. And if you're not, they will go, right, you're not to talk to anyone here. You see these people? None of them.
I'm going to shout. There's mics now, so I'm going to shout, that was a Donaldson Donkey punch. So, fuck you.
This match, what a... who cares? Again, last time they mentioned the streak a bit. This one they don't. They've forgotten all about it. There was a story that I'd read quite a while ago that Nathan Jones was actually brought back into the end of this match,
right,
with the idea that he would actually help Undertaker get A-Train into the tombstone position.
Yep.
And he didn't. So Undertaker just had to do it by himself. And I'd heard that you can actually hear Undertaker shouting, help me, when he's doing it. But you can't. So
no.
That's a little urban.
Okay.
I was very disappointed about that. This is the final time we're ever going to see the American Badass gimmick as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't run for very long then.
No, about 3.5 years.
Right.
So, yes, it is now gone the way of all flesh. Back into the ground. Don't know where gimmicks go when they die.
So he's
TNA. Got,
yeah, I guess so. So he goes back to the Undertaker kind of shit now with the Dead Man, right?
Okay. Yes, it's he did not want to go back to being the Dead Man. But
is he allowed? Like, could he not be given like a bike that's like made of bone? Just a bit more.
That would have been good.
A compromise, Vince.
The reality is, you know, he didn't want to go back to being the Undertaker, but by the time he does, I mean, he ends up having the proper biggest matches in WrestleMania history,
right?
When he's the American Badass, after 3 years of that, he's in the second match going up against fucking Albert and Big Show.
Yeah.
And Big Show in this, I mean, you barely notice him. He's like a big fat fucking smear. He's so lazy in this and he's bored and he doesn't look like a monster. He just looks like a big neighbour. You know, so he's like your neighbour at home but he's bigger. He's just a big version of that.
Peeking over the fence.
And he's not got any more proportionally strong or fast. He's just your big neighbour. That's how he comes across in this. What a big lump.
What a big lump. Well, we've come to the end of another show, Mark.
Hey, we actually managed to do two matches.
Managed to do two matches. That's,
I'm pleased with that.
And the Miller Girls. Let's not forget the Miller Girls.
Yeah. Shall I quickly just sum up just at the end with a list of all of the divas who did Playboy? Because this is the little clip where we get Tori and Stacey. So Tori Wilson and Stacey Keebler meet the Miller Catfight Girls.
Yes, okay.
And then they set up their impromptu catfight.
Yeah.
Tori is reading a Playboy. And the Miller Catfight Girls, who are called Kitana Baker and the other one. And the other one, let me tell you, she has not even got a Wikipedia page.
No, Kitana Baker's got a bit more because she did a bit of softcore pornography and also a lot of music videos.
Do you know, she on her IMDb is more than willing to tell you about her Wank Mag career, but never once mentions the word WrestleMania. Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know?
She was late. Kitana Baker was in a film called Slammed. Best pals in this theatre of their idol and sexy gals as they pursue their dream of wrestling on the illegal bar circuit. So she did extend her. That was later next year, I think.
The other one was called Tanya Ballinger. I did notice this. So in Kitana Baker in 2002, she has an uncredited role as Barbarian Woman in The Scorpion King.
Right, okay.
And that was a film that starred The Rock.
The Rock, yeah.
Yeah, so they must have. And then I noticed Tanya Ballinger, who doesn't have a Wikipedia page, who has 15 followers on Instagram at the time of recording.
16 now.
In 2013, she appeared in the film Snitch as a party mum, a film that Rock starred in. And I was thinking, is Rock making a list of like all the women in WrestleMania and going, I'm going to track them down sooner or later, treat them to some strudel. It's Rock's big plan. Tori Wilson appeared in Playboy. But there is a sort of a period from 1999 to 2008, 10-year period where the WWE are doing an annual pictorial in Playboy.
Right.
They have the cover and they are the best-selling issues every single time of the year.
Right.
So it starts with Sable, who does April 1999. And Sable's pictorial was so popular that she was actually on the cover of three editions of Playboy within that year, just from the same shoot. I think there was sort of, you know, some specials and things. In autumn 2000, China appears in Playboy. She does it a couple of times, in fact. Tori Wilson is there in May 2003. Then there's Sable and Tori Wilson doing one in 2004. In 2005, Christy Hemme, in 2006 Candice Michelle, in 2007 Ashley Massaro, and in 2008 Maria. They spent years trying to slightly push both Stacey Keebler and Trish Stratus into doing Playboy,
right?
And both of them didn't want to do it, which, you know, absolutely, I mean, why not? But there was all this sort of, you know, slightly weird pressure. Ashley Massaro, 2007. I don't think... Do we get to see her in WrestleMania? I think we might.
Right.
I'm going to save the fascinating story of Bella Models and the FBI investigation into that for a later episode.
Well, we can promise you nothing else but except illicit sexual conduct, it sounds like. We'll end there.
I mean, she does deny it.
Okay.
The page does list that she travels for $25,000.
She travels...
Yeah, wink, wink.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
For $20,000.
Wink, wink.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.